Hello, friends. This is Pastor Harley Wheeler with the Broadway United Methodist Church. I'd like to welcome you to this podcast about Joseph and his brothers. We are going to be looking today at Genesis chapter 46 and then into chapter 47, verse 12. And so I'd like to, you know, we've now come to the point where Joseph has been reunited with his brothers. He has sent the caravan of his brothers and some wagons and stuff back to bring his father Jacob to Egypt so that Jacob can be reunited at long last with Joseph. And so now we're at the point of the story we can look forward to this happy reunion. So it says, so Israel, that means Jacob, the father, took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. And God spoke to Israel in visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here I am. And he said, I am God, the God of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for there I will make you into a great nation. I myself will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also bring you up again, and Joseph's hand shall close your eyes. Then Jacob set out from Beersheba. The sons of Israel carried Jacob, their father, their little ones, and their wives in the wagons that Pharaoh had sent to carry him. They also took their livestock and their goods, which they had gained in the land of Canaan, and came to Egypt, Jacob and all his offspring with him, his sons and his sons' sons with him, his daughters and his sons' daughters. All his offspring he brought with him into Egypt. And so, as the story is being told, we have to get Jacob to Egypt. And also, one of the questions that a person would have when looking at this business of Jacob, one of the patriarchs, and the father of the whole 12 tribes of Israel, about his going to Egypt. Well, they had the purpose of God was to plant them in Canaan, the promised land, as it is said, because God promised it to Abraham and his descendants. And so here is Jacob leaving and going to Egypt. And so we have a moment where God does visit him in a vision, and we might even credit Jacob with the faith and discernment to know that, to wonder, well, what does God think about this plan? Even, you know, the joyous news that Joseph is alive and Joseph wants me to move to Egypt and there's a famine going on in Canaan. Is it God's will for me to go to Egypt? That's a good question. Even if the happiest people in your life want one thing, or the people that seem to have the most resources and are most influential want something for your life, it's worth asking the question always, is this God's will for my life? And in fact, that Jacob stops and offers sacrifices, we can say it goes without saying that he was inquiring of God about the path for him. He receives his answer from God, and it is touching. This has been a story of life and death, primarily of people fearing a death that happened. You know, I will go with you, Egypt. I will bring you up again, even though Jacob will die in Egypt, he will be buried in Canaan, and Joseph's hand shall close your eyes. How close the Bible characters are to our own existence. We wonder who will be there when we pass. We also wonder, will we be there when a parent or somebody close to us passes away? Will my hands close their eyes? It's touching. It speaks to the whole realm, you know, range of human existence and want, and puts God in the midst of that. We can find that the timing and the placement and the circumstances of a death so often have a hand of God's grace in them. Even in the tragedies that we have, we see God present and at work. And of course, Jacob sets out from Beersheba, and the boys are great. These are the brothers, the 11 brothers of Joseph, and they don't make old Jacob walk. They don't make their wives and children walk. Joseph has sent, in the name of Pharaoh, wagons to carry them all back. So for them, even though a ride in an ox-pulled wagon probably, except as kind of a new experience in a lark, maybe isn't the most comfortable thing, but as opposed to walking many, many miles, it was great. They're all loaded in wagons. All his offspring he brought with him to Egypt. Almost that idea of saying, look, we're not leaving anybody behind. Verse 8 goes on. Now these are the names of the descendants of Israel who came into Egypt, Jacob and his sons. Now I'm going to go ahead and read all these names. If you don't mind, no, we don't have comment on every single name, but remember that God names each one. These are all people that there are clans who could say, yes, God was there when we needed him. And we have a story, we have a history of God. Anyone living can say, you know, I am part of the ongoing story of what God is doing. And so it continues. Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, and the sons of Reuben, Hanok, Pelu, Hezron, and Carmi. The sons of Simeon, Jemuel, Jamin, Ohad, Jachin, Zohar, and Shaul, the son of a Canaanite woman. The sons of Levi, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. The sons of Judah, Onan, Shelah, Perez, and Zerah. But and Onan died in the land of Canaan. And the sons of Perez were Hezron and Hamuel. The sons of Issachar, Tola, Puba, Yob, and Shimron. The sons of Zebulun, Sered, Elon, and Jaleel. These are the sons of Leah, whom she bore to Jacob in Padan Aram, together with his daughter Dinah. Altogether, his sons and his daughters numbered 33. The sons of Gad, Ziphion, Haggai, Shunai, Esbon, Arai, Erodai, and Erali. The sons of Asher, Imnah, Ishva, Ishvai, Beriah, with Sarah, their sister. And the sons of Beriah, Heber, and Malchiel. These are the sons of Zilpah, whom Laban bore to Leah, his daughter, and these she bore to Jacob, 16 persons. The sons of Rachel, Jacob's wife, Joseph and Benjamin. And to Joseph in the land of Egypt were born Manasseh and Ephraim, whom Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, the priest of On, bore to him. And the sons of Benjamin, Bela, Becher, Ashbel, Gera, Naaman, Ehi, Rosh, Muppim, Huppim, and Ard. These are the sons of Rachel, who were born to Jacob, 14 persons in all. The son of Dan, Hushim, the sons of Naphtali, Jaziel, Gunai, Jezer, and Shillem. These are the sons of Bilhah, whom Laban gave to Rachel his daughter, and these she bore to Jacob, 7 persons in all. All the persons belonging to Jacob who came into Egypt, who were his own descendants, not including Jacob's sons' wives, were 66 persons in all. And the sons of Joseph, who were born to him in Egypt, were 2. All the persons of the house of Jacob who came into Egypt were 70. Now that concludes the great list of names there. Well, we might consider a few things. First off, this idea that, you know, it isn't all a sweep of sociological entities, but actual families, and we deal with family history. Also, as you're going through your Bible, in an English translation, these are spelled phonetically. You can say, that looks like a hard name, but if you can sound it out, you can say the name. And where else do you get to say Muppim, Huppim, and Ard? Okay, that's a great little phrase. And now also that all these people came to Egypt, all shared the same experience of deliverance and the same experience in the future of bondage in Egypt and the same experience of knowing God's powerful hand. And also that though Joseph has, for some chapters, been highlighted, all of these people belong to what we call Israel. You know, named after Jacob, who God named him Israel. They could say, we are Israel, all 12 tribes, the tribes of Dan, the tribes of Reuben, Manasseh, Ephraim, the tribes descended from Joseph, Levi, all these people are part of the covenant plan that God has given. He has shown promises to them. He is in their lives. And they also are people who should respond to him. And so now we got all these people in Egypt. We're understanding there are 70 of them, and so that there will be a certain amazement at the thousands upon thousands that this people becomes during their sojourn in Egypt and before they return to the promised land under Moses. Now verse 28 begins, Joseph, he had sent Judah ahead of him, Jacob had sent Judah ahead of him to Joseph to show the way before him in Goshen, and they came into the land of Goshen. Then Joseph prepared his chariot and went up to meet Israel, his father, in Goshen. He presented himself to him and fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. Israel said to Joseph, now let me die, since I have seen your face and know that you are still alive. So Joseph goes up to Egypt. This is the reunion of father and son that we have waited for. And you know, Joseph falls upon Jacob's neck and doesn't want to let go. He weeps there a while. He also, that you know, took time to get there, prepared himself, presented himself. You know, he's dressed well. He wants his father to be excited when he sees him, and to see a person who's flourishing and glad and healthy. And Jacob has talked a lot about dying. You know, gray hairs will go down to the grave in sorrow, as he had been saying over and over again, after Joseph was said to have been killed and lost to him. And also when he was afraid that he would lose other sons in their dealings with Egypt. And now, you know, we see the redemption of the hopes of a man. That Jacob saw no hope, and now he knows hope. He knows hope in the life that God is giving him and in the promises that God will fulfill. You know, and now he is able to sound like, well, he sounds like Simeon in Luke chapter 2. You know, now let me die. Let your servant depart in peace. My eyes have seen your salvation. That's what Simeon says at the birth of Christ. And Jacob is now saying, let me die, since I have seen your face, and know that you are still alive. Now consider the basis in Jacob's hope. He knows that his son is still alive. And of course, people in that day were very, very much aware of the difference between being alive and being not, of losing someone early, of losing a person tragically. And also we find it peculiar that they seem so excited at the birth of a child and talk about preserving the family name on for generations. But friends, we have never lived in a subsistence economy. We never lived in an area where a town could be so decimated by an attack, a disease, or a famine that you could literally say, if somebody doesn't start having children now, we won't exist in a few years. Jacob knew all those things, and so he connects rightly the activity and the promise and the love of God with that ongoing presence of the family that lives beyond him. Now, we don't just live to leave descendants. I didn't have children to leave little copies of myself, as people will accuse people who have children of wanting to do. Shouldn't do that, by the way. You know, children are raised for the glory of God. Children are a positive good. And Jacob uses this moment as he talks, you know, I have seen and know that you live. He's pointing out that he is part of a larger story. You know, when Simeon, at the birth of Christ, you know, he says, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. He's holding the child Jesus in his arms. We might almost be sad for Simeon to say, well, look, he leaves the story early. He's got a little cameo, and it seems that it's not written there, but we suppose he was old. He went off and died somewhere. You know, too bad for Simeon. He doesn't get to see the waters calm at his command. He doesn't get to see the feeding of the 5,000. He doesn't see with his eyes and know the meaning of the cross. But we are truly, as we approach different ages, we can recognize that our story is part of a larger story. It comes to an end. Retirement can bring an end to your working life. Disability and age can bring an end to a lot of the roles that you play in life. We seem to go through life giving back things and giving up things. And finally, our life itself will be returned to God who gave it. But also we know that we are children of the resurrection. We are already living in resurrection power. We are already living with one foot in the next kingdom, and we're already sure beyond the faith that Jacob could know that we're living in the kingdom that God is establishing and following Christ, whom he sent to be the salvation of the world. So we have the reunion. We, you know, feel fulfilled in this. And so now the story will press on just to place the people of God in Egypt. And verse 31 says, Joseph said to his brothers and to his father's household, I will go up and tell Pharaoh and will say to him, my brothers and my father's household who were in the land of Canaan have come to me. And the men are shepherds, for they have been keepers of livestock, and they have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. When Pharaoh calls you and says, what is your occupation? You shall say, your servants have been keepers of livestock from our youth even until now, both we and our fathers, in order that you may dwell in the land of Goshen, says Joseph. For every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians. So Joseph has a plan. He has nothing wrong with the most capable and upright person in the clan being able to present the plan. And perhaps you wonder if Joseph daydreamed about this plan, perhaps in the years, the beginning of the famine, perhaps the first time he saw his brothers, even before he has a plan. He's going to send them to the land of Goshen, which just means, you know, which now carries in the Bible a place of plenty, of peace, of security. And also, interestingly, so that they don't get wrapped up in the idol worship and the very bad things that could be found in Egyptian culture, which the Bible doesn't bother to mention or harangue about at this point. But a person reading this and with a knowledge of the rest of the Old Testament scripture says, boy, don't get too close to the Egyptians, because they still worship Pharaoh as God and have a long line of statues and things that they revere rather than God. And so the people of Israel have a chance to grow and establish their community centered around God in peace from the Egyptians. And Joseph doesn't mind fixing it so that Pharaoh will make the choice that he wants him to make. In chapter 47, in verse 1, it says, "So Joseph went in and told Pharaoh, 'My father and my brothers, with their flocks and herds and all that they possess, have come from the land of Canaan. They are now in the land of Goshen.' And from among his brothers he took five men and presented them to Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to the brothers, 'What is your occupation?' And they said to Pharaoh, 'Your servants are shepherds, as our fathers were.' They said to Pharaoh, 'We have come to sojourn in the land, for there is no pasture for your servants' flocks, for the famine is severe in the land of Canaan. And now please let your servants dwell in the land of Goshen.' Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'Your father and your brothers have come to you. The land of Egypt is before you. Settle your father and your brothers in the best of the land. Let them settle in the land of Goshen. And if you know any able men among them, put them in charge of my livestock.'" So they emigrate. They land in a new land. You know, circumstances work out to put them in a place where there would be pasture for their flocks. Yes, there's a famine raging. Yes, yes, the crops are failing all up and down the Nile. Yes, Canaan is in crisis. There's not enough for people to eat there. God's people, you know, following in the midst of his plan, find that he is sufficient for their needs. And also that they get a favorable decision from Pharaoh, a secular, for in our eyes, ruler. Yes, he wasn't a completely secular person. He had the sort of religion that made him believe that he was a god. And then also it was necessary to fill his tomb with all sorts of furniture for him to use in the afterlife, and he recognized God after God. But he was a ruler outside of the faith. Christians all over the world and Christians now can come up against an official in the government that will render a decision. It is always right and proper to pray for a favorable decision and also to have faith for a favorable decision. This we will find out as we go through life, understanding that we don't face the powers that be in this world all in our own strength, but God's hand is mighty to save. And verse 7 down to verse 12, and then this section of the podcast will end. "Then Joseph brought in Jacob his father and stood him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Jacob, how many are the days of the years of your life?' And Jacob said to Pharaoh, 'The days of my years, of the years of my sojourning are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life, and they have not attained to the days of the years of the life of my fathers and the days of their sojourning.' Then Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from the presence of Pharaoh. Then Joseph settled his father and his brothers and gave them a possession in the land of Canaan, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramses, as Pharaoh had commanded. And Joseph provided his father, his brothers, and all his father's household with food, according to the number of their dependents." So there's a brief time of famine before them. We've almost forgotten the famine that is going on, but Joseph is in charge of the food supply and will keep the brothers and the whole family going. Excuse me. And we had some curiosity, which in this case, the Bible doesn't always go out of its way to satisfy our curiosity. What would Pharaoh say, meaning Jacob of the Bible? In fact, Pharaoh, his particular name is not given. It is Jacob, the father of the clans of Israel, who is remembered, and this Pharaoh would be just one of a number that archaeologists find out about. But he stands with Jacob. Jacob must look his years. Pharaoh asked, "How old are you?" And you have a sense that Pharaoh wondered, how old is this man? 130 years, and he says, that's not what Isaac, that's not what Abraham, that's not what the people before me attained to. And he says, few and evil have been the days and years of my life. Well, Jacob has seen many, many blessings, and he passes on a blessing to Pharaoh, even though Jacob could say, you know, this has been a difficult path that he has trod. He has found his troubles to be very near him. It isn't a point where Jacob says, but I found all God always near me. You need to get saved by Jehovah. He doesn't say something like that, but he puts a blessing upon Pharaoh. There's a story that God is working in Egypt that the Bible does not reveal. It is not the saving story of the incarnation of his son. But it is a sign that God cares for and loves all people, and so has brought Christ into the world in a church that isn't just the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but a church that where we all are heirs to the promises made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So we find that Jacob has a blessing to share. His blessing given freely to Pharaoh is also that blessing that we can find in Christ. So I want to thank you for being here with this podcast and hearing this material in Genesis 46 and 47. I invite you to go ahead to check on the next podcast when it's out to follow and get the story concluded of Joseph and his brothers. In the meantime, be blessed in his love. Amen.